Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jamie D and Big Newt. I'm Jamie D'Amico. He's Big Chris Newton. We are coming back at you yet again through Buffalo Rumblings, and we come at you every dang week. How you doing after your Thanksgiving, my big friend?
Well, since you asked me about Thanksgiving, I mean, that was positive, being around family and loved ones, but I ain't doing too good today, man. I'm glad we record on Tuesday afternoon for the Wednesday release, because not only did we lose Tre'Davious White in our victory over the Saints, but I also, as a Notre Dame fan, lost Brian Kelly yesterday to LSU. So I'm not feeling too good right now.
Damn, buddy. Yeah. Once upon a time, nobody would have ever given up a job at Notre Dame for a job in the SEC. And now it's all about the Benjamins, isn't it?
Yeah, he has 95 million reasons to leave. And I get it. He's older. You know, he's like 60 years old. So this will be his final gig. So I understand. And on the positive note, I've been talking to a bunch of my Irish brethren last night and this morning. I look at the bright side. I hope it's a situation like when Georgia got rid of Mark Richt and got Kirby Smart, to where Mark Richt averaged 10 wins a year. He was doing fine, but they just needed to shake it up and get somebody to take him to another level. So hopefully our next hire takes it what Brian Kelly has done. And he's done a tremendous job. 10 wins a year for the last 6 years, you can't ask for anything more. But hopefully we get somebody who could maybe take us to a championship level.
Hey, man, that would be good. The loss of Trey White is something that definitely stung me. And we are going to talk about very briefly about the Bills just curb stomping the Saints. We're definitely going to talk more about the Trey White injury, how it affects the Bills going forward, and a very big divisional game coming up on Monday night in front of the national audience. But I wanted to tell you a story, buddy.
Please do. I'm all ears.
About an 8-year-old that is now a fan of ours.
What?
So, Max. Max is the son of my wife's childhood best friend, and they live in Erie, Pennsylvania. And when they were driving through Buffalo, it was explained to him that I have a podcast along with you. And 2 weeks prior, he had gone to his first ever professional football game. He saw the Browns play, and his father is a Browns fan. And they listened to our show as they were driving through, the Buffalo area. At least they listened to the show as long as Shannon could tolerate hearing us talk about football. Yeah, not a Bills fan, let's put it
right
that way.
I got it.
Well, Max, I think he ended up a little starstruck. Hey, I know this guy. He has a podcast. We can listen to him on Spotify. He thought that was really cool. Well, when we all met up in Western Massachusetts, I happened to have my podcast equipment with me. And when I was with Max, we recorded his first Cleveland Browns podcast together.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And he was good. He was asking me all kinds of questions about the podcast itself. Questions like, hey, how do you fit the music into it? And how do you get it on Spotify? And the best question of all, how do you know what to talk about?
Those are all very good questions. Good job, Max.
Especially coming from an 8-year-old. So Max is my new podcast buddy. You know, I'm not leaving this show or my other one, Believe, but, you know, if Max ever wants to do another Cleveland Browns podcast, I'm doing it with him.
Hey, now, Max, you can't come. You can't take my host, man. Now, hold on. You're going to leave me unemployed, so hold on now. You mess with my money. No, just good job, Max, man. That's good stuff.
Yeah. Now, I did want to briefly touch on our podcast from last week, in which we discussed the potential for there being some angst within the Bills locker room regarding people that didn't necessarily agree with each other over COVID. And we got a lot of love for our thoughts on that. And I do want to give it a shout out to Joe Goho, who was very effusive in his praise. Joe, thank you so much for listening, and thank you for the kind words. Being that we do this really as a hobby, it really kind of feels good when you know people are actually listening and thinking about what you have to say. I know your friends listen to you all the time. I'm not so lucky.
Yeah, and I invite it, man. And if you disagree with us, hit us up, man. You know, I mean, we have Bills backers in D.C. to listen to us. And they were like, no, Chris, I believe this, that. I mean, that's our society, man. I'm going to have an opinion. You're going to have an opinion. My opinion is no more important than yours just because we got a pod. And I think the guys on ESPN ain't no more important than our opinion. So I'm all for it as long as we can be respectful.
Absolutely. I've had a few conversations with people on Twitter that have vehemently disagreed with me on a couple of things. And, you know, it's fine because it's sports. And I mean, if you're in a state of conjecture about things, I mean, conjecture is neither right nor wrong. You're making your best guess. So if you feel differently, I can promise the listeners this, we will always be civil with you.
Right.
And I know not everybody's that way.
Exactly. Like if we had because a lot of people like, hey, can we call in? I'm like, it's not a radio show. It's a podcast. So, and like a lot of people don't understand like the differences and the similarities, but I mean, I would always like to think, and you and I have talked about this before. Some people have radio shows on WGR. I'm not going to name people, but on WGR, who I'm sure we all listen to, and they hang up on people, they demoralize people, and I never got that. Like, I don't care if you call me drunk, as long as you don't call me out my name or talk about my mom, I'm cool with it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can have your opinion. I get it, man. When you went to the game and spent your money and you pissed off and you call me afterwards, I expect for you to be mad. Josh Allen sucks. McDermott needs to be fired. I get it. I don't agree, but I get it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I would never hang up on you, but I mean, what do I know? We just have a pod, so.
Okay. Now let's go back to football.
Mm-hmm.
The Buffalo Bills on Thanksgiving evening. Just, I mean, mopped the floors with a very injured Saints team. And they looked good doing it. Ed Oliver stood out. The offensive line is playing a bit differently than they had previously, even though they've still got some injuries there. Sum it up. What was your take on that game, not including the injury to Trey White?
We went down there and we monkey stomped them like we were supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And we faced the backup quarterback, and we made him feel like a backup quarterback. I with their injury report, I knew we'd go down there and take care of business. I wasn't really worried about it. I quickly moved on from it. Besides the injury, obviously, like I said, I have a lot of friends down there, and I, you know, they're like, oh well, I wish we would have had our full roster, and it would have been a better game. And I'm like, well, hold on now, don't you know. Just take the loss and shake my hand. I'm saying good game. Now, if you want to talk, I'm going to talk back to you a little bit because, you ain't got your starting quarterback and you didn't have your starting receiver and your starting running back. But we still hung 30 points, and I saw Cameron Jordan out there. I saw Kewan Alexander, DeMario Davis. I seen my boy Stephon Diggs route up Lattimore, who's like an all pro bowl player. Mm-hmm. So don't act like that now. Like, yeah, like your defense was out there. All your whole defense was out there except for Davenport. And to tell you the truth, I mean, Davenport's okay, I guess, but you had Marcus Williams, Malcolm Jenkins, Marshawn Lattimore. Your defense was out there. We still hung 30 on you. So be respectful. Just take this L, and yeah, I shake your hand, you shake my hand, we walk our ways.
I wholeheartedly agree with you on that. I know as Bills fans, we don't always take losses gracefully. I was psychologically tortured by the loss to the Jags, but right. There weren't really any excuses coming from us. Like, yeah, we know that the offensive line is in flux, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't be able to beat a one-win team. So
I agree. But at the same time, you can't talk to a Jags fan and be like, oh, this, that, and the other. I mean, you just got to take your L. You got to eat it and get ready for the following week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was no excuses where, you know, and I get it. I'm not knocking them. I mean, you're mad, but yeah. I mean, and I told them, I was like, your defense was out there. He's like, well, your defense can't hold them the whole time. At halftime, it was 10-0. And I'm like, yeah, that's true. And we can't win in after halftime, ran out three straight. So,
yeah.
I mean, a defense can only hold up so long. And I guess I would understand the injury thing if it was like 14-7 or 10-6 or something like that. You could use that argument. You needed more offense. But, I mean, we ran through them like a wet paper rag, you know, towards the end. So we did what we were supposed to do. And now we turn the page and moving over to New England.
Before we get to New England, let's discuss the Trey White injury because it happened in the last game. And
well, hold on now. Wait a minute. I don't want to talk about Trey White yet. I want to talk about this game a little bit more because it's some. I know the game was 5-6 days ago. It's old news, but we talked about some of the keys to the game and they kind of came true. So before we get into negative stuff, I do want to be a little positive.
Okay.
Matt Breida, bro.
Mm-hmm.
We are a different team. Like, he only rushed for 26 yards on 9 carries. But that first half, man, like, to me, Singletary wound up with 44 yards, 15 carries. I feel like Breida being in there made Singletary better.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Did you get that? I mean, did you get that feel watching the game and how it flowed? Because I feel like Breida was ripping off 5-6 yard runs. Until he had the mishap, I believe it was in the second quarter, where he went the wrong way, and then we didn't see him for like two whole quarters. Did you notice that?
Yeah, and then when he got back in, he didn't do much.
Exactly.
He ended up only averaging 2.9 yards a carry.
Exactly. But when he was hot, man, I'm like, ride the hot hand. And then when Singletary came in, he was running off, and then by the time Breida came back in, you're right, he didn't do much. But, I mean, those first couple of quarters, man, I was like, oh, my God, start this kid, why don't you? We're a different team, bro.
So is it the running back's performance or is it the change in the blocking scheme? Because I don't know if you've noticed this, but over the past couple of weeks, the Bills have ditched the zone blocking, which they're decidedly not built for with their personnel, and they've turned over to an outside pull blocking scheme, which is where Mitch Morse is at his absolute best, getting to the outside, running sweeps, things of that nature. Matt Breida is certainly built for that. And 2 years ago, that is where Devin Singletary made his money on the field. So do you think it's the running backs or do you think it's a combination of those two things?
I think it's a combination of both. It's like the truth. The truth is usually, you know, somewhere in the middle. I think it's a combination of both. But my thing is, whatever it is, we need to stick to this. Obviously, the blocking scheme and riding Breida a little bit more. You know, so that looked like a nice tandem against a good run defense in the New Orleans Saints. It was a good front. So I want to see more of Breida. Well, definitely this Monday night, I want to see Breida and Singletary.
And I'm not trying to take anything away from Breida because speed makes a difference. Speed makes a huge difference. Mm-hmm. Like a couple of those 6-yard runs probably would have been a 2-yard run if he couldn't get to the corner as quickly as he did.
Right.
Loved seeing it. Loved seeing the productivity. It really makes me miss Shady McCoy.
Oh, I miss Shady so much.
I mean, that guy had a set of wheels on him, and it didn't matter if defenders had an angle. He could bounce it outside, even when the blocking was breaking down. He could just make things happen all by himself.
Right.
And if he wasn't sort of a head case and had stayed on a good team his whole career, we might be talking about Shady McCoy as like a future Hall of Famer. Although when he fell off the cliff performance-wise, like, he really fell off.
Yeah. When he fell off dramatically. And I'm still beating the drum for him to be in the Hall of Fame.
Are you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I feel like if you're an all-time lead rusher, he got 2 Super Bowls. He didn't play in none of them, but he got 2 Super Bowls. All-time lead rusher, I mean, I would love for him to get in.
So, speaking of former Philadelphia Eagles, who was better, him or Brian Westbrook?
Ooh. Brian Westbrook is good.
Yeah.
Without looking at any stats, just off the top of my head, you hit me with, I would probably say Shady.
Okay. I was thinking that too, but I haven't looked at the stats, and I feel like it might be recency bias on my part, but I don't know.
Well, we have to look up the stats.
Yeah.
Like, I would, just off the top of my head, from what I remember of them playing, I would probably say Shady.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway.
You talk about speed. What about my boy Stevenson, man?
I'm not confident in him at all.
Okay.
He took a couple of big hits. He fumbled his first punt return. I think that this was just a wake-up call to Isaiah McKenzie, and McKenzie's going to be back out there in the next game.
Almost 10 yards of return, man. You can't stake a stick at that. So, I mean, I think we got two good ones. I agree. This might have just been the, rattle McKenzie tree a little bit. Like, hey, you can't be fumbling the ball. But if we do go with Stevenson, he's younger, and this dude got a ton of speed. So
he does.
You know, I wouldn't be mad if he plays Monday. I won't be mad.
I don't think I will either. I'm interested to see what he can do, although I'm not sure I want to experiment with it against the Patriots.
That's fair.
Yeah. Although every time McKenzie touches the ball, it's an adventure too. So I don't know. You keep talking about missing Andre Roberts, and I'm there with you.
We should have paid him, man. We should have paid him. But we had to move on regardless. And once again, once you start paying these salaries, then we got to cut costs at every corner. So we had to go younger. So, I get it. You know.
Mm-hmm. Are you ready to talk about bad news, though?
No, I want to talk about Poyer for Pro Bowl. Let's talk about that. Okay, come on.
You're avoiding the inevitable, my friend.
Hey, and also, hey, Josh, all right, I'm trying to stay positive. You know, the first, you know, segment, I'm trying to stay positive as much as I can before we get negative. Josh Allen, man, wonderful game. About 300 yards of offense, 4 TDs, had 2 picks. I'll say only one was really his. Yeah. 75 QBR. I mean, he had a good game on national TV.
He just needs to clean up those stupid picks where he floats the ball down the field, which he's been doing over the past few games, and we've got our old Josh Allen back.
Yeah, man, national TV, man. He put a feather in his cap, so hopefully he could replicate it on Monday night.
He tends to play well on nationally televised games,
right? So, I mean, he's still in the MVP conversation. He go out and have a, big game on Monday night. What about the games getting flexed? Buffalo didn't have any games getting flexed. What's up with that?
Well, I think you kind of have to look at who the opponents are.
I got you.
They got the Bucks, which will be televised. And then you've got the Panthers, the Patriots. And then we're looking at what, the
Jets, and then
the Jets and Falcons.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to see the Falcons or the Jets.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
You know, the second Patriots game might get flexed, right?
I thought they already flexed that weekend. Hold on.
Oh, did they?
They might have. But I saw Sal before we got on. He had tweeted week 15, 16 got flexed, I think.
Oh, okay.
But hopefully, that'll be a good one.
How do they compensate for the loss of Trey White?
If you follow me on Twitter, man, Circle the White Wagons podcast, I retweeted what they podcast. What they tweeted. We all know I'm a big Marvel's nerd, so, and I retweeted it. And real quick, I know you don't watch Marvel movies, but Thanos. A daughter, Gamora, he had to sacrifice her for the Soul Stone to get the Infinity Stones. So when he did it, he had to essentially kill her. You had to trade something you love for the Soul Stone. So when he did it, he had a young Gamora come in the Soul Stone and ask him, you know, did you do it? And he said, yes. And then she says, what did it cost? He said, everything. And so Circle the Wagons used that meme and said, did you beat the Saints? And he said, yes. What did it cost you? It cost me Trey White. And that's mm-hmm. literally how I felt. He, in my opinion, he's our second best player.
Mm-hmm.
The only person I would hate to lose for the year is Josh Allen. Next would be Trey White and what he brings to our defense. I feel like I don't know if we could replicate what he does. We could cover some things up. We could play a lot of zone. And we might be able to get by the Patriots with this. I don't see how we cover the receivers Tampa Bay has.
Because they have three great receivers. That was my concern, my friend.
Okay. So I believe in our defensive coordinator. I believe in McDermott. I don't know how we get past this with the same expectations. Along with the COVID things, this is a big blow. And once again, you all might not like this, but it's more that has to fall on the offense. This is more that has to fall on our running game and Josh Allen when you lose somebody of that caliber.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, our defense is still number one in the league. Can we sustain that? We probably can the rest of the year with – we can finish the year being the number one defense, I think, with because we play the New England twice, but we still got the Jets. I'm not worried about Atlanta, and I'm not worried about Carolina now with or without Cam Newton, and McCaffrey's out for the rest of the year. So I'm not worried about them. So even if New England tears us apart, our defense can still hold that statistical category mm-hmm. or that statistical ranking. So, I'm being long-winded. Just to answer your question, I just think we're going to have more from Josh Allen and have to have more from our running game. I think Sal Capaccio tweeted our ranking. Let me look at it real quick. I think we are in rushing yards per play 9th, rushing yards per game 11th. So, if we need to go from a top 11, 12 rushing offense the next couple of weeks being top 5. And I need MVP Josh Allen. If mm-hmm. we could do that, then I think that could cover up the loss of Trey White.
And this goes back to something we've been talking about since the offseason. And we're not the only people to discuss it, which is what in the world was Bean doing by not adding more cornerback depth to this team?
Yes.
What in the world are they doing going with Dane Jackson as the primary backup, who, while he has talent, doesn't have really any experience at all and has shown that he's very inconsistent. Even against the Saints, he was letting receivers get behind him, and the Bills' defense is predicated on not allowing receivers to get behind the defense.
Right.
If this blows up in their face, I think Bean is going to have a lot of answering to do. And here we are going up against the Patriots on Monday night, and they have a tall wide receiver core. They don't have anybody under 6 feet, and they have a couple guys that are 6'1", and N'Keal Harry, who's 6'4". Mm-hmm. I mean, these are big dudes, and the big dudes are always what has given Levi Wallace a hard time, and Wallace is now the number one corner.
And it doesn't help that we lost Wild Goose, 2 weeks ago? Mm-hmm. Like, he would have provided wonderful depth. I mean, I agree. I mean, Brandon Bean, yeah, if we don't meet our expectations, he will, get a little heat during the offseason because it will fall at his feet the way he constructed the roster.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I mean, it's still up in the air. I think we can fix it. It's just going to fall more on the shoulders of other people. Can that happen? Yes. Do I think our season's just over? I don't think that. I don't think it's over. I just think the Patriots game, more than anything, this provides an opportunity for us Monday on national stage to still have things in our own hands.
Mm-hmm.
We're still the mass of our face right now. Now, if we lose, because I've heard people – on Sal's show calling in the morning after, and they were like, this is a must win. This is the biggest game that we had in the last 6-7 years. And I'm like, and I agree with Sal. I don't agree with that. The biggest game we had was Baltimore, or not Baltimore, but Kansas City in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And the biggest wins are Indianapolis and Baltimore. So I don't agree with that because we can still recover from us losing this. But we're just being more of a pickle than what we already are.
So I think this injury makes a bigger difference against the Bucs than it does the Patriots.
I agree.
In fact, I will go as far as to say that without Trey White, the Bills can't beat Tampa. Yeah, they just cannot match up with Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. They're too good.
I wouldn't say can't, but I wouldn't pick us to win that game. Because if Brady plays like he played against Washington football team when they won a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
Then I mean you're looking at it, if we play our best, they play their best, then yes. But sometimes you have stinkers. So what if we go down there and they take us lightly and we punch them in the mouth? That's very well could happen. But yes, I agree with you. Them at their best and us at our best, we would not beat them.
And the other thing, the Bills are coming off a short week going into that game.
You're right. You'll be at that game.
That's what I was going to say. Of course, this happens. And yes, I'm on my way to Florida to see that game in a week.
That'll be fun. It'll be good weather.
So check this out. The Patriots are 8-4. The Bills are 7-4. So they're about 30 percentage points apart. The Patriots are leading the NFL in point differential with 146. The Bills are second in point differential with 144, 2 points off. The Bills and Patriots are both averaging about 113 rushing yards a game. This looks like an even matchup, doesn't it?
It does, and that's why everybody's pumping up as a collision course, man. I mean, we're very similar. We started off hot and then kind of went, you know, back and forth with wins and losses. They started the season back and forth and won the last six, so now they're hot. We're very similar statistically. One thing I'll give us, though, we have a seasoned quarterback and they have a rookie quarterback. So hopefully we could devise some schemes and a game plan to where we make him feel like a rookie quarterback.
Yes. You know? And they started the season 2-4 with losses to the Dolphins, Saints, Bucks, and Cowboys. And that loss to the Cowboys was overtime. The loss to the Bucks was by 2 points. The loss of the Dolphins was by one. And they have the last six games, they've beaten the Jets, Chargers, Panthers, Browns, Falcons, and Titans. And I'm seeing people on Twitter talking about that saying, well, they didn't beat anyone. I mean, Tennessee had a bunch of injuries. And guys, they beat better teams than the Bills have beat this year in their last six games.
And even if you say they ain't beat nobody, they mocky stomped in them wins too. They're like us. When we win, we mocky stomp people.
Yeah, the only close one was beating the Chargers by three.
By three.
But, I mean, they're running up the score on teams.
Yeah. So if you say they're bad, yeah, that's fine, they bad. But they mocky stomping people like they scrubs too, so you can't look at that. I think it's going to be a good game, man. It's going to be a hard-fought game. I'm looking forward to it, man. Monday night, man. It's going to be wonderful.
The Patriots were left for dead after last season. And I understand why. But what people have to understand is they had six players opt out because of COVID. They had no quarterback last season. And they also took their medicine when it came to the salary cap. That salary cap was entirely cleared out this season. They got a rookie quarterback who is exceeding expectations, and they brought in a ton of good free agents. And oh, look, they very quietly built the best offensive line in football. This is a good team. I'm not on the Mac Jones hype wagon the way some are, the way some are saying that he might be the best rookie quarterback we've ever seen. How do you feel about that?
I think he's playing very well. I give him all the props in the world. If you ask me about the situation, it's more about the situation. I love what they're doing over there for them. It's unbelievable. I wish people might not like this. That's just the way I am as a competitor. I could lose to somebody and shake their hand and be like, hey, you're better than me. Like I always said before, you know my personality. when New England was whooping us for 20 years, I'm not mad at Tom Brady. I'm mad at us. We got to get it right. They get it right. So, but I understand some fans aren't like that. You know, some fans are, you know, hey, F them, no matter what, I hate them. They suck. No, they don't suck. You sound crazy. They're very good, and I wish I was them. You know what I'm saying? So, but I get it. Some people rep what they, you know, some people rep their team and they only know their thing. Just like with people with parents with kids. My kid is the greatest no matter what. Hey, I get it. No, that ain't me. I tell my kids, you ain't nothing. Suck it up and get back. Like, but that's just me. I'm a Midwest kid. That's how I am. So,
the mean streets of East St. Louis.
I've been to East St. Louis, but I'm not from East St. Louis. Okay.
Oh, that's right. You're from Ferguson, right?
Close to it. I grew up in Jennings, Missouri.
Okay.
But not far from Ferguson. But yeah, so I mean, I just look at it more so as us. Like, we can't let a rookie quarterback come in and start this dominance. You know, we need it got to be a couple of years where New England sucks. So we have to put them in their place. I mean, so once again, I'm more so than me being mad at them, I'm mad at Starla Tulalake. Get out there and play. I'm hearing he's supposed to be playing, like, be full on board trying to win, you know? So I'm more mad at him than I would be mad at them.
I hear you. Yes. I usually, when you lose a game, I know people love to point at the refs, but like I've always said, you have to take the refs out of the game. You know New England is going to get the calls because they always do take the refs out of the game. The other thing I want to look at when it comes to New England, and this is the place where the game could be won or lost by the Buffalo Bills, they have put together an outstanding offensive line, and you bring up Star. What is going to happen against the Bills' defensive line? Can they come alive? Can they put pressure on Mac Jones? To me, that's what's going to make the game, because we know that on the back end of the defense, Leslie Frazier and Sean McDermott are incredible at disguising their coverages and confusing the hell out of rookie quarterbacks. Rookie quarterbacks are terrible against the Bills defense and have been since McDermott and Frazier arrived. And you know, Belichick is going to have them ready, but they're still going to throw things at Jones that he has never seen before.
Yeah, that's our calling card, so hopefully that happens. As far as our defensive front is concerned, and you mentioned it earlier, you took my thunder with this one to talk about Ed Oliver. He's playing wonderfully right now. So what I want to see is he playing good like that because Star's not in? Can we get good play from him and Star? That's what I'm eager to see. And if we do that, once again, it goes back to what we said 15 minutes ago. When we lose Trey White, we need others to pull more weight.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully he can continue his good play. Star can come back. We got Edmonds. So hopefully they can play well and stymie that offense. And like you said, make him feel like a rookie quarterback.
That's the key to winning, I think.
My question, what I was going to ask you, though, is I wrote down in my notes, do you agree that Ed Oliver has been playing well?
It's hard to tell with defensive tackles because they don't make a lot of splash plays, and he did make some. I would say, based on what I'm seeing, it seems like he's doing a good job. Against the Colts, he was getting pushed backward 3 yards off the line of scrimmage. That's not good, but that's not really his game either, to take on, you know, double team blocks and stuff like that. For what they need him for, which is to be a disruptor, that seems to be what he's doing well, although at times he does run himself past the play, which you don't necessarily want. What are your thoughts?
Well, my next question, my follow-up question is, do you think he's going to be a casualty of the salary cap? Do you pay Ed Oliver? That was going to be my question.
That is such a difficult question.
And I hate to hit you with that when we talk about this enough. I just wanted your instant analysis and reaction.
Well, I've thought about this.
Okay.
And I would try to do everything in my power to sign him to an extension that is going to be a smaller dollar amount than the fifth-year option that he would be up for.
Okay.
Right now, I think the fifth-year option would come in at, don't quote me on this, but I think it's going to come in at around $10 or $12 million. I think he's more of like an $8 million player.
Gotcha. Okay. So you'll offer him something less. All right. And see if he takes less money. Like Matt Milano. Matt Milano could have got more money in the open market. So
he could have.
He took less money to stay at Buffalo. I definitely agree with you. I'm not going to break the bank for Ed Oliver. I know it is important for Brandon Bean to try to keep guys that he drafted, but we can't overspend on that. So,
well, you also can't keep everyone.
Right.
If you look at the Ravens, they churn through their roster pretty quickly because they draft guys who perform well and then let them leave as a free agent. But they seem to do really well in finding depth and free agent signings and draft picks that can step up and play well in their absence. Like, I don't know that they're missing Matt Judon too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's sustainable. You know what that is? That's the Los Angeles Dodgers. That is the Tampa Bay Rays. That is the Boston Red Sox to a large degree.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
The Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, that's what you, aim to become, is able to have the next man up because you're so good at developing your own players.
Right. And good drafting. Yeah.
Well, you know, there's two sides to it though. There's selecting the right player, and then there is developing the player that you drafted.
Right.
And you really can't be successful without having both aspects to it.
Right. It all works hand in hand. So I definitely agree. Let me ask you another question.
Please.
Do you think there's someone out on the street that can help us at cornerback?
Yes. There's got to be. There's got to be somebody out there who at minimum is experienced enough that they can play the complex coverages that the Bills run. I don't think I'm comfortable seeing Cerrone Neal and Cam Lewis on the field.
So you would think that it's somebody at home that's better than those guys.
I think you can do better than Cerrone Neal in coverage anyway.
Yeah, I'm eager to see. It's like what we talked about a couple of weeks ago. I'm eager to see, are we just going to, like we did a trade deadline, are we going to stand pat and be like, hey, we're rolling with this, like we're good enough, or are we going to go out there and try to find somebody? I know the logical thinking is that if somebody was at home, well, if somebody's good enough to play, they wouldn't be at home. I'm not going to necessarily say that because Cam Newton was at home, and I think Cam Newton's good enough to be in the league. I'm not saying he's a starting quarterback anymore because he got pulled. They got drugged by Miami Sunday, and he got pulled. I'm not saying he's a starter, but he's definitely good enough to be in the NFL.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think he should retire. I think he should be ashamed of himself.
Well, you're saying that because you don't feel like he went from – it's like what you said before. He went from MVP to out the league in like 3 years because of his injury. Like, he's not the same guy. But the only thing is when you're the backup quarterback, you can't be, you know, doing the high stepping. You got to be quiet. You got to hold the clipboard. You got to be like you're not in the room. And it's hard for Cam Newton not to be in a room. That's why guys like him go from superstar to out the league so quickly.
Yeah, but, you know, he was also 5 for 21 with a quarterback rating of 5.8. And you would have a quarterback rating of 38 if you just spiked the ball into the ground on every dropback.
Man, Jeff Toole's in the league, bro.
No.
I just wanted to say that.
Even Nathan Peterman's out of the league.
Nathan Peterman just got out the league like last week, bro. Come on now. He just got cut like last week.
I'm so glad that the Bills are no longer putting guys out on the field that literally nobody will pick up after the Bills let them go.
Exactly. Jeez, Aru. That is so funny.
So do the Bills win this one, do you think?
You want realistic Reggie?
Of course I want realistic Reggie.
I hope we win. I just don't see it.
You don't see it?
No. I hope so. I mean, the only, like we said it already, if Josh Allen plays well on national TV, that's a feather in our cap, but I don't see it. I can just see us. I hope so, but if I had to bet my money, I'd bet we're going to. I'm being honest. I'm sorry, y'all, but yeah, if I had to bet money, I would bet this would be a loss.
Well, if the Bills don't beat the Patriots twice, they're going to have a very hard time winning the division, and I think they know that their backs are up against the wall. So I think that they're going to figure out a way of pulling this game out.
Okay. See, I'm being like Jared. I'm like, yeah, we're going to lose, and then it'll be we win, you know.
Oh, I don't actually think they're going to win. I'm just saying it because I don't want to sound like a hoser.
look how you said that, bro. No, I'm not saying all that. I don't really think they're going to win. I'm just, you know. Yeah, Bills Mafia, man. Does that make us less than a fan? You think people going to listen to this and be like, oh, they're not real Bills fans? Like,
well, yeah, people are going to say that, but you don't have to be, you certainly don't have to be delusional to be a fan. And it's okay to think that your team is going to lose based on the evidence that you see. I mean, you root for them to win. And if they don't, okay. But if they do, then, you know, it's a pleasant surprise. That's being a natural pessimist. That's how I roll, is always thinking that the worst is going to happen when it comes to my sports teams.
Right.
And then I'm thrilled when something good comes. So it's really like a way of managing my own expectations.
Right.
So that I'm a happier person.
And so I'm not going to be pissed off. But if we win, I'll be ecstatic. But then you just got the only downside of that. You got to listen to people like, oh, yeah, you're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. You said we were going to lose. And I get it. I'm like, hey, man, I was wrong. Like, I'm not always right. If I was always right, I'd probably be a millionaire. I probably wouldn't even be doing this podcast.
I'm not going to name names, but there was a woman that we watched football with for years who during the drought was like, Bills are going 12-4. They're going to the Super Bowl. And I'd be like, I think they're going 4-12. Or I think they're going 6-10. And like every year I was much closer than she was. And she's like, yeah, but I'm a diehard. And I'm like, but what does that mean?
Like, are you talking about Tina, man?
No,
no, you're not talking about Tina.
Of course I am.
I'll say it. That was my girl, man. This girl used to say, man, we're going to win the Super Bowl. And that used to be so funny. And then she texted me when we finally made it to the playoffs with Tyrod. I told you. I'm like, yep, dude, you've been telling me for 10 years, and we finally did it. Yeah, you're right.
She's like, EJ Manuel is going to be an all-pro. And then she's like, okay, he's injured, but you're going to see Jeff Toole is going to turn out to be like a diamond in the rough. Like, oh, stop.
Oh, yeah, that was a dying loyalty, man. That was my girl, man. But that's why I love being part of the backers, man. You got so many different type of people, and that was hilarious. Oh, my God. She'd want to fight you, bro. Like, yeah, if you don't believe the Bills going to beat Green Bay today, I'm going to beat you.
And I'll tell you what, I would never, never fight her. She's not a large woman, but I don't think there's any quit there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she mess you up, man.
Hey, she a competitor. She played D1 basketball, I think, man. I might be
really
telling too much stuff. Yeah, she played college basketball. She an athlete and still looked the part. Shoot.
Oh, she has no fat on her body even
She still looked the part, man. Yeah, man. She was intense, man.
I'm afraid of her.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That is so funny.
Buddy, give me a song.
Hey, man, thoughts and prayers out to recovery of Trey White, man. So it was a big win last week because it was on national TV. So, hey, shout out to Sal Capaccio.